professionals describe as the light bulb moment when first reading about it. When reading about PDA, two things instantly occurred to me. First, I realised that many of the students I had worked with historically, who didn't fit into my understanding of autism, were probably PDA. Second, I realised that my approach with these students had not just been completely wrong, it had also been counterproductive in supporting them. This made me realise that my approach in supporting these learners needed to completely change. When I left the education system, I set up my own consultancy, and since then I have had the pleasure of working with hundreds of young people with a PDA profile and their families. As a late diagnosed neurodivergent adult, I have many special interests, and PDA is certainly one of them. I also confess in my first book, The Educator's Experience of PDA, that when you work in education, you are not supposed to have favourites, but I do, and they are almost all PDA learners. This is not a book which is heavy on science, biology, or psychotherapy, but I hope it will be a helpful and positive guide to understanding PDA that will be beneficial to parents, family members, and professionals who work with PDAers. If you are a busy professional who works with a PDAer and you are short on time, then you may just wish to listen to chapters 1, 2, 3, and 8. Finally, I love working with PDAers. When they have the right support and feel safe, they are funny, charismatic, kind, loyal, and determined. I feel that there is a lot of negativity about PDA, and this is something I am determined to change. I am incredibly positive about PDA, and I hope that listening to this audiobook allows you to feel the same. Chapter 1. What is PDA? This chapter will be helpful for parents, carers, wider family, and all professionals. Welcome to the Parents and Professionals Simple Guide to PDA. Whether you are listening to this book as a parent, a grandparent, another family member, or professional, we hope that you find this book a helpful, simple, and invaluable guide to the complex but fascinating world of pathological demand avoidance. PDA is complex and also still, sadly, quite a controversial condition. It is widely thought of as a subtype or profile of autism that is characterised by high anxiety and an overriding need for autonomy. Autism is assessed by evaluating performance and behaviour in correspondence with the diagnostic criteria set out by the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, DSM-5, or the International Classification of Diseases, version 11, ICD-11. Unfortunately, the way that we assess for autism and other neurodivergent conditions is still very deficit-based. When assessing for autism, clinicians will assess characteristics and difficulties associated with social communication and interaction, restricted and repetitive patterns of behaviour or interests, sensory differences. Consideration is also given to the presence of any concerns about a child's early development and the extent to which difficulties cause clinically significant impairment to daily functioning. Pathological demand avoidance, PDA, does not feature in either the DSM-5 or the ICD-11 as a distinct or separate condition. However, PDA is now widely recognised as a profile of development and behaviour within the autism spectrum. The main features of PDA include resisting and avoiding the ordinary demands of life. Examples of the different types of demands are listed later in this chapter. What is very important to understand about PDA is that demands may be avoided even when the person seems to want to do what has been suggested or asked. Using social strategies to avoid demands, such as distracting, giving excuses, flattery, procrastination, and negotiation. Appearing sociable and having a strong social drive, but lacking depth in their understanding of social and communication skills. Excessive mood swings and impulsivity. Personally, I feel that there is a very big dollop of ADHD in the PDA recipe.